Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this October 21st, 2022. You have your host, James J. Maloff, here. It is 10:05 on the clock, and at 10:30, we're going to welcome in Tim Kreft from Alliant Energy, talk about the solar project here in the neighborhood, in the area here. And right now, joining us on the phone, Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Teston. Good morning, sir.
Hey, James. How are you?
Doing good. How have you been?
Staying busy. It's been a busy last month. Been meeting with a number of organizations. It's been great since, you know, Century World opened up their hotel. A lot of groups are coming to Central Wisconsin, so I've been giving them updates. And yesterday spent several hours walking about 10 miles in the Fox Valley, going door to door for one of my legislative colleagues, State Representative Rachel Gabral-Guevara, and her bid for the 19th Senate District. So it's been a busy fall as we get closer and closer to Election Day.
I have a couple topics I wanted to get into with you, sir. First up, for those that didn't hear, I thought it was this is an equal opportunity of getting this out information out there, as well as kind of understanding what it means. Wisconsin veterans will soon receive an investment of $10 million in services that benefit them. Governor Tony Evers signed a law allocating the funds to help veterans navigate issues such as housing and employment. Certainly, we have talked about this. You and I have talked about this. We've talked about it in this hour here a lot about our veterans and helping them. How is this going to help our veterans?
Well, Wisconsin continues to be one of the states that does an incredible job of taking care of those individuals who have stepped up to serve our country. And Wisconsin has some of the best benefits in the entire country, taking care of our veterans. And some of the money that's been allocated to this is going to continue to connect them for those individuals who need housing assistance and other types of forms of assistance to really, you know, give them a hand up and ensure that we're doing everything that we can to take care of those who serve.
Yeah, it's a nice headline and a nice article, understanding all the depth of what it means. I think hopefully the majority of people out there listening understand. But if you don't, I encourage you to take some time at a VFW or spend some time with some of our veterans. And I think, you know, just in an hour conversation, you'll probably understand why this is so vital.
Absolutely. And for those veterans out there who want to try and get connected to their benefits, encourage you to reach out to your county CVSO. And I know Rock does a great job there in Wood County. And so, you know, we've got a lot of great support structures in place to help those individuals who have served our country. And we're going to continue to put our best foot forward that for anyone who serves, when they come home, that we're doing what we can to get them connected to their new careers as they transition from a life of service in the armed services to civilian life.
And you know how I usually run this half an hour with you, sir. I like to listen to our audience, talk to people, listeners, and find out some of their feedback. And the next couple of things comes from a lot of our listeners. And not really a set question, more of a not understanding necessarily what it might mean. Like recently, and this comes to us from Wisconsin Public Radio as well as the Milwaukee State Journal, Wisconsin's tax burden has hit its lowest level in two decades in 2020, according to the annual report released Tuesday, the Wisconsin Policy Forum. The report looked at the new federal data showing Wisconsin state and local tax collections rose just 1.7% in 2020, the smallest increase since 2015. I just said a lot of words. What do they mean? What does it mean for your average Wisconsin citizen? How does this help them? Or how does it hurt them? Is it either or?
Well, I think overall it's good, because even though over the last over the past decade, we've passed significant tax reform here in the state, even before I joined the state legislature, per capita, Wisconsin still remains one of the highest tax states in the country. And so anytime we can lower the tax burden on our residents, especially right now when we're facing 40-year high inflation, I think that's beneficial, because everyone is feeling the pinch right now, whether it's at the pump or at the grocery store, and it's been a real struggle. I know several months ago when I was on your show, I talked about when I was going door to door in Wisconsin Rapids having a conversation with a constituent who was really having a hard time with the rise in prices, and it was really coming down to, you know, does she forego having supper at night so she can save a few extra bucks so she has enough money to get the gas, or have enough money to get to work and pay for gas. And so these are real conversations that Wisconsinites are having. And unfortunately, you know, through responsible budgeting that we've done in the last several budgets, we've been able to lower the tax burden while at the same time continue to take in significant revenues in the state coffers, which I think says a lot given the fact that we are poised to face a $5 billion projected surplus. And I say projected because that's just what it is. It's a projection. If for some reason the economy takes a tailspin and we find ourselves in a deep recession, we need to be able to weather the storm. But I think it sends an even bigger message is that as a whole, we are overtaxing our residents here in the state. And so provided the economy remains semi-stable and as we go into the next state budget, I hope that we can continue to have conversations on what can be done to continue to lower the tax burden on our residents, because I think we have shown that when we empower taxpayers and consumers to put more money into their own pockets and down in Madison, we end up taking more revenue because people are smart with how they spend their money. And I, far be it for me to tell someone how to spend their money better than themselves.
Yeah, I hear you there. I'm never a fan of telling people what to do with their own money. That's always a good note to mention. Another thing that came up from talking from listeners, and I couldn't help but think about when I was in these conversations. I remember both my grandfathers were Marines, and I remember them teaching me at a young age how if somebody in their platoon in their camp like messed up or didn't do laps or didn't make their bed right or something, the whole platoon had to do laps, had to do things. I think a lot of us remember that from football and those things. Hearing from so many people, and I talked to Republicans, Democrats, undecideds, independents all over the last month or so, whether it's preparing for our interview or Representative Krug or any of these, the thing that I keep coming back to and keep hearing is people approaching politics that way. It doesn't matter how they vote or what they think, and they don't. It's not about really Republican or Democrat as much anymore of what are you guys getting done? So when it comes to working together, when it comes to reaching across the aisle, how do you think Wisconsin is prepared for that going forward? Because it's getting more and more to the point where people are done choosing a political party. They just want people that can get something done.
Yeah, and I think that holds true. And that's certainly, you know, based on conversations I have with individuals, I think that's a underlying common denominator. And obviously, in today's day and age, we live in very hyper-partisan times, and, you know, things are very divisive. But what always gets overlooked and overshadowed and doesn't get covered nearly as much as I think it should, because I think it really emphasizes what we're trying to get to the point here, is that at least in Wisconsin, and I can't speak for D.C., obviously that's a whole different can of worms, and, you know, there's a lot of dysfunction out east, but at least here in the state capital, you know, every session that I've been in the state legislature, anywhere from 95% to 96% of the bills that get signed into law have bipartisan support. It's usually that very small fraction of percentage where, you know, we're going to be at odds and pretty far apart, but perspective, and I know, you know, a number of my colleagues from our area of the state, especially Representative Krug, Nancy Vandermeer, and others, you know, we've always done, a decent job of reaching across the aisle, trying to find that common ground and actually try and get results for the people we represent. Now, does everyone take that approach? Certainly not. I mean, there are a number of individuals down in Madison who would prefer to spend their days throwing verbal hand grenades and partisan bombs across the aisle, and they have every right to do so, which, you know, I guess serves a purpose to an extent. But from my perspective, I'd rather focus on getting results as opposed to just trying to score cheap political points from the low-hanging fruit. And so, you know, I think by and large, we have proven, at least in Madison, and I can't speak to other states or D.C., but at least we're able to, do what needs to be done for the people we represent.
We're speaking with State Senator Patrick Teston right now, and that being said, and I see a lot of what you're, you know, I got a really nice view from where I'm sitting in this this show here. We have you guys on along with plenty of others like Katrina Shanklin and Congressman Kind and plenty over the years have joined our airwaves. And I see people on air, off air, getting along. Whether you have the same, you know, belief on this one particular topic or something, that's completely, you know, another thing. But you guys have gotten along, and it's one of the reasons why on this show I try to emphasize that there is more commonality than not, that there is more reaching across the aisle than there is not. It's certainly not to say it doesn't exist, but it's really important, not just because it is a political season, but with the attack ad situation where it has, like, looking at the numbers here, there are more attack ads on TVs in America than there ever been before. They're bombarded with them. And like we like to say on this show and other shows, the only people who win with attack ads are the people producing these commercials and getting paid thousands of dollars to make them. They don't care about fighting. They don't care about division. In fact, they encourage it. It helps them sell their ads. It helps them get politicians to buy more ads. How do you combat that as somebody who you've said on the airwaves here many times, and you and I have talked about this, that's not your style. Same thing with Representative Krug, Vandermeer, Shanklin. Everybody has kind of come on the air, and I've tested them on this, and they have said they do not endorse these things. I know you have said you don't either, but how do you combat that, especially when you're going in person?
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough, and especially right now, as we're now 19 days away from a very contentious midterm election season, and Wisconsin is number one in the nation for the number of political ads that are being aired on the airwaves right now, and we're also number one in the country for the number of negative campaign ads that are being aired. I mean, I think it just goes to show that how competitive the state really is. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, the negative ads start flying from both sides of the aisle, both camps for all the different races, whether it's governor, U.S. Senate, the third-party groups that come in. The approach that, you know, many of us have taken, especially, you know, here in our area of the state, is we just take our message directly to the voters. And, you know, for some of those who remember, you know, my first re-election in 2020, I mean, I was getting the you-know-what kicked out of me and raked over the polls over in 2020. But, you know, we continue to go out, take our message directly to the voters, go door to door. And I think that really helped insulate myself from all the nonsense that was out there. And in fact, I remember a few weeks before, you know, the ad started hitting the airways, I did a short little video, and it's just kind of a little spoof saying, hey, you know, take a look at my face and remember it as you see it right now, because in a few weeks I'm going to have horns coming out of my head. I'm holding a devil's pitchfork. I'm going to be the worst person in the world. But I think when you have a body of work and, you know, having spent time out in the community, traveling throughout the district, keeping my thumb on the pulse of the, you know, what people are looking for and what they hope to have us work on, it helped insulate us. And so obviously we were successful in 2020, and, you know, a number of my colleagues who faced similar situations who were in the same spot where they're getting bombarded. And so, you know, I think anytime you can take your message directly to the people, and if you've been doing your job and going out there and listening and, you know, representing your area well, it's going to go a long way. Now, obviously, in a statewide race, it's tough because you can't go out and, you know, meet every resident in the state of Wisconsin. It's just not feasible. And so that's where I think you start to see the negative ads play a little bit more of a factor. But by and large, at the end of the day, I mean, anyone that puts their name, you know, out there into the public arena, you've got to have thick skin. Mm-hmm. And then once the dust settles after the election's over, it's time to take off the pads, take off the football helmet, and put on the policy cap and get to work.
Yeah. And also another thing coming from our audience, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson's campaign is soliciting reports of suspected voter fraud ahead of the election. And Johnson has recently hired former Trump attorney who sought to overthrow the 2020 election, that we haven't even gotten into the voting booth yet. And this conversation is already being had. I don't think that there is anybody out there who does not believe in making sure that our votes are, there is integrity and that we can count on our voting system. That's certainly something that has been, since the beginning of voting, we've wanted and want a concrete. But then there's the side of things and balancing this of, you know, Senator Johnson coming out with these things. And it kind of seems like already he's just saying, well, if I don't win, this is why. And it's interesting to see how this will go if he does win, if there's going to be the same kind of push, if not. When a voter, Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter, when they see these stories, when they see this going on, they're immediately going to have some doubts in their head. They're going to start creating doubts. It's just human nature. How is that healthy for the political process?
Well, I think by and large, I think Senator Johnson sometimes, you know, has a tendency to be a little blunt in his delivery and remarks. But, you know, I think he's just trying to do his due diligence and making sure, you know, if for some reason any issues come up, that they're prepared. And that's no different than what's going on right now. And with both state parties, the state Republican Party, the state Democrat Party, we know, I mean, just based on the polling that we see, that these races are in dead heats. And, you know, essentially, guys like Tim Michaels, Tony Evers, Mandela Barnes, Ron Johnson, they're fighting for about 3 to 4% of the voting population right now, because that's how closely divided the state is. And so when you have such a small window and margin of error, you know, they just want to do their due diligence. And so, you know, both parties are getting their get out the vote operations ready. They're making sure that they've got their poll workers and poll observers ready in key areas of the state. And so by and large, I mean, we just need to make sure that, you know, we have assurance and certainty that our elections are administered fairly and reasonably. And that's some of the things that we tried to address this past session that unfortunately, you know, we were at odds with the governor on, but trying to make sure that we have some uniformity in the process, that you can take a clerk in any area of the state and be able to plug them into any different any community anywhere in the state, and they would know with 100% certainty on how to carry out and administer elections. You know, by and large, I think one of the things that people don't fully understand and realize is that we have a very decentralized election administration process here in the state, where, you know, we rely heavily on our clerks to carry out and administer elections at the local level, which I think is a good thing, quite honestly, because anytime you can have elections that are closest to the people, you know, you're by and large, you're going to have the best results. But again, we just need to make sure that, you know, when it's all said and done, that we have confidence that things were carried out properly and correctly as it's laid out in state statute.
You know, whether it is these attack ads and young people seeing them or things like this, the other thing that we have to think about, too, is we're going to need future politicians. We're going to need future voters. And the more kids that see this, then all they see is that is attack ad and mistrust and all these things. Who's going to want to be a politician? Who's going to grow up and want to do these jobs? We have to think of that as well. That's another factor in this, another layer to it that I think that needs to be considered as well. And the integrity part is something that first and foremost, I think. But the other end of this, too, is our election workers and our volunteers and all these people. And what have we done in this state to make sure that they're safe, that they don't have anything to worry about other than, you know, counting votes?
Yeah, no, I think you bring up a great point. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why it's been so difficult to try and find good people to step up and run for office at any level, whether it's at the federal, state, even local level. I mean, especially in the last couple of years, I know in my conversations with the Wisconsin Towns Association, they're having a really hard time trying to get people to step up and run for even offices at the town level, whether it's town board, town chair, town clerk. And that, like so many other things right now, is really tied together with the worker shortage that we have. I mean, we already have a hard enough time as it is trying to find qualified employers to fill the jobs that are available. But on top of that, we also need to make sure that we have qualified people who are able to step up and run for local office. And so, you know, it's tough because I think it discourages people when you can't turn on your TV and not be bombarded every 30 seconds from a malicious attack ad, whether it's coming from the left or the right, and you see it nonstop on the radio, you hear it nonstop on the radio, you see it nonstop on digital ads, our mailboxes are being flooded. And I think a lot of people kind of take a look at that and they say, why would I ever put myself through that? Why would I subject my family to that? And so, you know, thankfully there are people that are willing to step up, but, you know, I think you do lay out a long-term problem that we could face if we can't give some sense of civility back into our public discourse and understand that we can have differences of opinion, but we can agree to disagree. Hmm. I tell people all the time when, you know, I'm out at community events and they'll ask me, well, what party are you? And I tell them, well, I'm a Republican. They say, well, I'm a Democrat. I can't talk to you. I'd always laugh and chuckle and just say, hey, how about we restart the conversation? Because let me tell you something. If I didn't talk to Democrats, I wouldn't talk to my own parents, and that's not really a viable option. And it's just trying to break down some of those walls that, mm-hmm. that at least have a civil conversation. I think, you know, when we can each do our own part collectively, I think that'll go a long way to try and, you know, tone down the rhetoric and heat that we face in these contentious times.
Well said. The Associated Builders and Contractors of Wisconsin and the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce have both chosen to present Senator Patrick Teston with awards to recognize his commitment to growing Wisconsin's workforce. One of the things we have talked about many times on the air here with you is your On the Job series and doing that. How much did this mean to you, sir, and how much it means to be doing the On the Job series that you do?
Well, I'm really honored to once again receive the Associated Builders and Contractors Building Wisconsin Award and the award from Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce because, you know, it's always great to be recognized for our efforts, but more importantly, it's the right thing to do, you know, pursuing policies that help, build that talent pipeline, getting people into the workforce, doing what we can to attract opportunities to the state, specifically here in central Wisconsin. And that's going to continue to be, you know, a point of emphasis for me going into this next session. And, you know, it all stems from this Beyond the Job series that I've been doing since I first took office in 2017, where once a month I go out and work a different job in my district just to highlight what's out there and to highlight some of our great employers. And also, you know, when legislation comes up and we're working on bills, and it gives me a much better perspective on how and what we do impacts people both directly and indirectly back home. And I think this month I'm actually going to be working at the Portage County Humane Society in the next week or so, and looking forward to that. And I think in November we're working on getting a day set up to go work with a meat processor. So I'm sure I'm going to be putting on a white apron and going to be chopping up meat and learning what needs to be done to further strengthen our food supply chain and making sure that, especially in the wake of, you know, we saw how fragile it was during the pandemic, and that, you know, doing what we can to ensure that we don't face any of those issues again moving forward if anything were to come up.
When you get to the Portage County Humane Society, say hi to Nicole for me. Got a lot of friends over there, a lot of good people. You're going to enjoy yourself. And just one final question to follow up to that, sir. You mentioned how you doing these jobs not only gives you a little bit of empathy and understanding of you know, the particular job and those workers and the workers in that world, but your constituents. We all have run the risk of living in bubbles nowadays. How much has that helped you get outside of your bubble?
Oh, it helps me greatly. I mean, just being able to go out and do something different for a day, even if it's only just for a few hours, I mean, it still gives you a much better perspective. It gives you understanding. It keeps you grounded. I mean, you know, last month in September, I worked at Three Bears Lodge over in Warrens in preparation for Cranfest, which is a huge festival. You know, they attract anywhere from 120 to nearly 200,000 residents in a village of just over 300. And, you know, this is the tourism industry. Hospitality is certainly one that has really been dealt a huge blow in the last couple of years to the pandemic and you know, the shutdowns. And literally, I mean, they had a skeleton crew in preparation for, you know, they're going to be completely booked. And so, you know, I was literally making beds, cleaning stoves, sweeping floors, mm-hmm. working in the kitchen, power washing the water park, alongside, you know, some great people and even their management team rolling up the sleeves. In fact, one of the co-owners of the resort made a trip up from Madison to help out and work right alongside, you know, his employees. And so I think anytime we can, you know, promote any job, because we have to really promote the idea that there is dignity in all forms of work and that a job is better than no job. And so I think if I can go out there and roll up my sleeves, then anyone should be able to do it and just really pound the narrative that there is no job beneath you. And to take every opportunity as a stepping stone. And like I tell younger people, in fact, right after this, I'm going to have a phone interview with a prospective Senate scholar over in the Tomah area. And that's always been my driving message. If you find yourself in a situation where you're not happy with your employment, your job, well, take that as an opportunity to learn from it, to better yourself, and use it as a stepping stone onto the next step and hopefully onto something bigger and better.
And it sounds like, I mean, especially, you know, the way the feedback we get from you, sir, it seems like something that everybody, every politician should do, not only to get themselves out of that bubble, but to get yourself right in the same level as your constituents. It seems like nothing but a positive. As it is talking with you, sir, appreciate the time. You have yourself a great weekend, and we'll catch up again real soon.
I appreciate the time, James, and hope everyone has a great fall weekend and get out there and enjoy the callers.
You too. Take care, Senator. Always appreciate the time from Senator Patrick Teston. Thanks so much for joining us. He'll be back with us probably next month or the following month. We'll talk with him again real soon. I'm going to talk with Tim Kreft coming up from Alliant Energy. We'll talk about their solar project. That's coming up right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.